Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and wait, does Mr. Frog have the fucking Gojo curse technique where you literally can't touch him? And with me, I have...
I don't know what's more offensive, hanging with Pooh Bear and Netanyahu, or pulling a goatsy.
And...
Well, it happened. The album happened. It's all very, very wholesome. White is like a baby. It's like thinking about the white ladies that I've been as a quote. I was called Mr. Frog, but after hearing that shit, it's like, you know what? We don't want any bloodshed, so bad idea.
Yeah, he's busy on another plane of existence.
Yeah. And FBO Max or whoever does this shit, Why is the episode not up yet?
Yeah, they were late on that today. I don't know why, but it came out late.
That is a very strange.
I get that sometimes you like you still always present 8 my time, 9 a.m. y'all time, but yeah, you say the next day, and I don't see you the next day.
Man, streaming services really are losing the plot when it comes to quality control, aren't they?
Yes, they are. But Fear Not is up now, so you know that means by the time this episode's up, it will have been up for a couple days. So it's on there, so all of you can witness the path to enlightenment, and also wonder okay, I just have to ask, is the peanut J.D. Vance in this analogy...
I mean, yeah, sure, why not?
That depends.
No one likes that sniveling little shit.
Yeah, that depends. Do they fuck couches?
Actually, wait, peanuts are useful, so no. I do not like that, man. But, I guess we'll see whatever happens with the, future of politics in the same world that gave us Silly Samuel. But, anyway, here we are, episode 412 of this podcast. So, how's everyone's week been going?
The last few weeks have been terrible, and this week in particular was more of the same. In fact, I'd say this was the worst of it all, because, let's just say I worked myself so busy and so hard that I ended up giving myself, an anxiety attack.
Nope.
That's not true. I give myself 3 anxiety attacks.
Jesus. Worse.
Yeah, it has not been easy dealing with the newfound discovery of line goes up, brr. Because when the money line goes up, the employee morale line goes way, way down.
Oh my.
So, fuck, I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess. But at least I'm back on my normal schedule. That's progress. Cool, I guess. Like, I am so fucking behind on so many things. It's bad. Changes need to be made or I'm going to lose my fucking mind here.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It is how I feel as well sometimes. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see. I'd say mostly. Okay, for the past few weeks, for the past couple of days, I've been slightly coughing up a lot. As you probably heard on the album roundup, you probably heard me just trying to not cough as much. But yeah, it happened. I don't know. I don't know why. I've been taking either cough medicine, cough drops. I even took some leftover ginger that I had with boiling water. I did the whole, I'm guessing, fake ass third food shit. Except not successful. Just like, okay, just boil this shit, just drink it. Maybe it should run ginger beer. I don't know if it doesn't work, but I don't know. I mean,
Yeah, I guess there must be something going around everywhere, because, like, one of my roommates is also dealing with coughing and a sore throat and shit for the past week. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, really like that. Although, I will say there has been one good thing, one good thing I want to talk about that I watched recently. Like you know how y'all gamers got Nintendo Direct?
Yep.
You heard about Glitch Direct, right?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Next episode is on my birthday, hell yeah.
Nice, and also they got that Lackadaisy, the show, which, all right, nice, cool. What I'm saying, that's a show about prohibition cats in the 20s. Yes, it's my form of cats.
Cats.
Yes, yeah. And I'm like, oh, they're gonna do the thing now. Like, we're gonna do the thing now. This punishment to make things better. Like, oh, cool. And they even brought the guy. He brought the guy who created the Final Space to help along with the thing. Because it's like, you know what? Animation. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I want to say that. You know, I want to say that you should do it and not get fucked up like I did. It's Glitch, like they've been doing good so far. But, you know, just make sure they, you get what I mean.
Yep.
It is nice that the indie animation pipeline is growing to a point where now it's all the big platforms and networks going, okay, we want to buy you, we'll let you do your thing. And the people making are going, okay, let's keep everything. These people are so desperate for content, they'll go, okay, fine, go ahead, do your thing. It's working. Keep it working.
Yeah, I'm just waiting here until my birthday, because I still think it's funny that Kane apparently listened to Bubble, and the next episode is a fucking beach party. Why do you swear now?
Because I can't.
The silly teeth, man. Well, aside from, all that business as for me, well, first of all, King of the Hill binge update. I am now well into season 8, and it's still taking me a bit of getting used to the new, digital paint and color aesthetic, especially because, like, I think the intro is still the classic, so it's still, like, the old, traditional painted style, so when it goes from that to, the new look, it's like, whoa. Holy shit. But, there's been interesting stuff. I did not realize season 8 would be, you're not making Christianity better, you're just making, rock and roll worse. Yeah, and I'm encountering a lot of, guest actors, like, okay, obviously Danny Trejo, I didn't realize the Sum 41 guys were in that, episode as well. Fucking Brad Pitt is Poomhauer's brother. Oh, God, that was a good
Get
one.
Get ready for a lot more guest stars in the coming seasons.
Yeah.
It's kind of all they had at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still having fun with it. I'm kind of glad to see more Luann back in the picture. I missed her. She's a fun character, even if sometimes I think the show beats up on her more than is necessary. But aside from, that binge progress, I did also decide to pick up another show from the current season of anime, and it's only because a clip of it crossed my TikTok feed, and it made me laugh so hard that I had to check out the actual show. That being, May I Ask for One Final Thing?
Oh, you watching that? Oh!
I like Scarlett. She's fun.
Yeah, like, Mashy Wap Out Day, when are you going to beat your ass? In the jaw or in your nuts? Fuck it, I choose both.
A woman after my own heart. So, yeah, that's pretty fun. That's pretty much about everything I can think of to mention here. So, we are going to move on, of course, to the usual weekly business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that jazz. And this first song here is another single from the upcoming new Primitive Man album, Observance, due out October 31st. And as you can imagine, it's long enough to basically count for half a set list. 14 fucking minutes. It's called Natural Law, and yeah, you'll never guess, it's very, very sludgy, atonal, and nihilistic as fuck. I mean, it's got everything you would expect. The bellowing vocals, the eerie drone of the lead guitars. Definitely the bass guitar feels like, you know, very fittingly, at least, more upfront in the mix than the actual guitars themselves. A bit of a back and forth where, like, the song will have, like, this very, very slow groove, and then you'll get pockets of blast beats, and then, you know, in the back half, it gets really, really slow, while also letting the drums belt out these very, like, you know, fast-paced kind of tom fills and all. I am, still very firmly ready for this to drop, because, again, I am a weird man who likes very, very angry, unpleasant music.
This is certainly some caveman-type stuff here. A bit too caveman-y for my own specific liking, especially since this is 14 minutes of just
damn
super aggressive slam shit from start to end. Good for those who are into it, but for me, I'll probably look elsewhere for something that's a bit brighter and not as nihilistic. Like this song right here.
Huh, I wonder what that could be. So, for the next single here, it has, it's been about 3 years since the post-metal, post-rock act Astronoid dropped their third studio album, Radiant Bloom. So, pretty much about time for album number 4 to be making its way to our ear holes. That album has been announced under the title of Star God, and it is due out November 7th. We have the lead-off single here called Third Shot, and it comes with a music video that has a spacey imagery and bisexual lighting. It's always important to note when that happens, but, yeah, so getting into the song itself, in a lot of ways, it adheres to a lot of the, you know, upbeat, kind of serene post-rock sensibilities of the band's usual style, especially a lot of the soaring, you know, production takes used on the vocals. This being an example of how you can use synthetic effects to accentuate a vocal performance properly, President! But when I listen to the very particular energy here, like the sort of driving pace of the drums and, you know, the very specific riffs and, you know, all that stuff at play, is it me or does this feel very glam rock, like very 80s? Not just because of the lighting, but just, again, there's this kind of weird glam angle to it where, like, the only way I could explain it would be, like, if they ever did, like, a modern revival of something like Bubblegum Crisis, they should throw this song on the soundtrack. Am I wrong here? Then again, maybe I just want more Bubblegum Crisis.
I mean, don't we all? But, yeah, the final form of post-metal is just synth-pop. Who knew? And in this case, it's really good and really catchy. That chorus is just infectiously groovy. Yeah. See what I did there? Infectious grooves. I'm funny. Yeah, the sound is just pleasant on the ears. Look out. The end of the year is going to have some last-minute year-end contenders again.
Man, it's always like that, huh? You know, sometimes I wonder what it would be like if the music blogs just actually held off until the very last week of the year to actually do their lists. That's a completely different discussion. Now moving on to the next track here. So, here's an interesting setup for a collab. We have production from Danger Mouse, bars from Black Thought, which, you know, they've worked together here and there in the past. I believe this is all supposed to be setting up a new album potentially in the future from what I was reading, but in addition to them, we have guest vocals courtesy of Rag and Bone Man, a British soul and blues singer who currently has 3 albums under his belt, and I've heard his stuff around quite a bit, especially on the realm of TikTok and all that. But that's just the setup. So, Mark, you want to tell us what's going on with the single here?
So, yeah, okay, so your single is called Up. Yes, it's called Up. And because we got this, you know, pretty, I want to say, this beat is sort of mellow in a way that, you know, that this was just one of the things like okay, like black thoughts Mars got stuff like if I was more than raised to higher the cost during the year the whole half was resolved, homie over I was fearing the hair of the dog to my homie and I was staring to carry them off. And carried him off. When we buried him, we wrapped him in Nigerian cloth. No story about him having a Lemuria cough. They just say he had a weapon that he used carried a torch. I would have feared that they feared me, but it's nearly washed. Maybe that's basically stuff like that. And Ragged Bone Man, a name I ain't heard in a long time. It's like, you're that one white guy who's kind of heavy but can sing. Isn't like you run a Schwartz of those. I mean, he's good and all. Just saying, it's like you'll see. This song has some dark shit going for it. Especially like this, the second verse where he said like I see the coast decline, we're all in denial. So, seen the murderous smile as he brought in the trial. Let's see, I want to just circle in the fall of a child. Can't ask the bow out loud to call the what? Basically all that. It's a pretty decent song. Like, and then go for the next album, which I assume might be Cheat Codes 2. I think there might be it, but. Yeah, okay. It's a song.
Cool. Now, let's move on to the next single here. Oh, hey, it's telling me I'm supposed to look at the wall of clocks. Let me see. Not that one, not that. Wait a minute. Holy shit! It's Baldy James the Clock! Dude, where you been, man? It's been like 47 years since we last heard from you.
Yeah, and is this what they say shit earlier, or at least last time? Yeah, he wasn't on that. Yeah, he's an album for September either. So yeah, he's out. So yeah, but I guess he got another one coming. I don't know. He got one with Nicholas Craven again, which okay, I don't mind that. He says to be out soon, and not only state says soon. Via Rock Nation. Wait, okay, Rock Nation. They might go to Rock Nation. Nowadays, aren't they?
Yeah,
so,
I guess so.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, we've got this new single from the album. It's called Criminally Attached. The single's called No Blemishes. And from you got this, you know, these little something, you know, the usual soul sample chop, which is so simple, she's going on, like, which sounds kind of nice, like, okay. And of course, got one verse where we're going, like, I still can hear my Gaga telling me that I need to be home before dinner. Time when the person will be calling my name on the intercom. Waiting up on my Digimon, a color yanks popping. Okay, you know what, that's Digimon. Okay, for some reason, somebody said Digimon anime in a song, but alright. Basically, a bunch of like, I'm guessing like, you know, what you should rasp about the most, like, you know, basically got the course, like, on my resume, it's no stain of blemishes, you can no spot on my name, you mentioned it. The game, man, you just can't claim the membership. Been this shit since I was 8, only my nigga Brett, all this shit did was brought me pain and stole my innocence. Get put too much cute con the X that should be hit and miss. That's great computer was the 8, and been suspended since. Okay, basically, the saying, like, I've been doing this shit since I was a teenager. Or in the eighth grade, or something out of eighth grade. So basically, it's sort of that sort of like, you know, story time she going on. It's like, I can never take it with this shit, yeah.
Yep. We'll just have to wait for when that album drops, and I wonder what he thinks about the new Digimon anime that's out there. These are the important questions we must ask ourselves. But anyway, now we move on to the last single we have here, and it is our second official preview of the newest studio album from Gorillaz, The Mountain, which, as a reminder, is scheduled for March 20th of next year. This new song over here is called The Manifesto, and it has a couple of interesting collaborators here, this being very hip-hop focused, and on one hand we have an Argentinian rapper named Trueno, and on the other hand, which is certainly a choice, is Proof, a former member of Eminem's old hip-hop collective D12, who sadly passed away in 2006.
Yeah. But he had
previously worked with Gorillaz in 2001. So, how could that be? I'll touch on that in a bit. So, as far as the instrumentals, it kind of weaves its way through a couple different moods. The first couple verses, or at least the first Trueno verse, is kind of this, like, stereotypical Bollywood sort of thing, which certainly makes for an interesting contrast as you're hearing Spanish language reggaeton bars. I do not speak the Espanol because I am what most professional experts would call kind of stupid. I mean, you think I could speak Spanish, motherfucker? I can barely speak English. Have you heard this podcast? But, sorry, getting back on track here. Of course, Al Barnes' vocals are mainly the, you know, chorus presence, singing about, like, the mountains crying and all that stuff in a way that I guess is supposed to be metaphorical, but it also low-key kind of reminds me of the famous Flimsy Steve.
Steve? Are you going to say that?
And then halfway through, you kind of get this, like, gradual shift out of the Bollywood vibe to kind of big band horns and this 6-8 groove sort of thing. And that's where we get Proof's verse, which is, I can't 100% confirm this, but, from some of the speculation I've been seeing, this might have been a holdover from the Demon Days sessions, which, I mean, realistically, that would have been the last point they ever would have got to work with him before, dying. Yeah. And then eventually things kind of, gradually shift back out of that into a mix of trap drums and horns for another Trueno verse. And, okay, so I'm trying to look at the lyrics on Genius as best I can to find, translation notes and all. And it kind of seems like a lot of Trueno's bars are kind of, some kind of spiritualism, about the nature of wisdom and how, modern life is, like, very, very bullshit. And nature, connecting to nature and all that type of stuff. But of course, as for Proof's bars, it's all, again, this is the other half of the Flimsy Steve stuff where, he's just rapping about, like, some really serious shit, like gang violence, just the altogether struggle of existence. Probably the line that, stands out the most to me being when he raps about, like, his father and just kind of the nature of drug addiction, just a recovering heroin addict looking down the barrel of my parents' attic. Just lyrics like that. It's certainly quite the odyssey as it is, but I gotta dig it.
Yeah, I've been digging this song too. Like, I will say, it was a whiplash with Trueno's reference, which does sound like, which was calmer then. We get the Proof was like, okay, where am I at now? Because the way he was rapping was like, oh shit. These stuff like, why should I dish you, dog? I'm not a face. These E and J make you see a DNA genetic waste. I'm in a case that's dead in a dirty hairy. Yeah. A prophetic taste of Schumann and Merce fairies. Yeah. You get the land that you already stated, but yeah. That'll be a different, gross music is always like, trying to be, usually, different than what they but yeah, it's. It just keeps on going.
Yep. Good stuff. And now that the music discussion is out of the way, we can move on to the one major news topic that we have for the week. And hopefully this should be the final denouement for the long gestating saga that started all the way back, April last year.
Yeah.
So, as you'll remember, Drake decided to fuck around and find out. He got collectively owned by Kendrick. that owning led to awards and critical acclaim, a Super Bowl performance, Emmys, and in order to be all, I'm not mad, please don't put in the paper that I got mad, he decided to try and file a defamation lawsuit against Kendrick and UMG over all of this shit, and, well, we have the final word that as of last week, Thursday, October 9th, a federal judge has officially dismissed the defamation lawsuit.
Gathered laughter on three, everybody. One, two, three.
You stupid motherfucker!
We need more good things to happen in this hell of an earth. Yeah. This is one of them. Hopefully the first of many to come.
Yeah, so how it has been like at least 10 months at this point since the lawsuit was first thrown in front of a fucking courtroom. But as of the last week, federal judge Jeanette Vargas granted UMG's motion to dismiss the case at the outset, ruling that Kendrick's insulting lyrics, and keep in mind we're quoting from a Billboard piece by Bill Donahue, you know, dismiss this as kind of hyperbole that cannot be defamatory because listeners would not think they were statements of fact. And just to further elaborate, the judge said, the artist's 7-track rap battle was a war of words that was the subject of substantial media scrutiny and online discourse. Although the accusation that the plaintiff is a pedophile is certainly a serious one, the broader context of a heated rap battle with incendiary language and offensive accusations told by both participants would not incline the reasonable listener to believe that none like us imparts verifiable facts about the plaintiff. But, unfortunately, Drake's attorneys say they intend to appeal the ruling and look forward to the Court of Appeals reviewing it.
Oh boy, it's a lawsuit, hip-hop edition.
As a reminder, in appeals court, you cannot file anything else. You have to present your case as is. Ergo, if you present to an appeals court and appeal it, if you will, this statement saying my client is a piece of shit is defamatory, they're probably going to look at it and go, how? He is clearly not fecal matter. He's a public figure. He has a track record of terrible behavior. He is a public figure who can be talking about through people stating their opinions about him. Sir, this is a Wendy's. Get the fuck out.
God, I kind of want Wendy's now.
Yeah, and Drake, I remember when you trying to find an appeal considering her rumors that somebody else is suing you. Rock Nation.
Oh?
Tell.
Apparently, from what I heard, Rock Nation suing him, what's that streaming place? The Kick, Kick, and that one douchebag streamer, Adam Ross. I think suing them for basically paying is like they're suing them for they're suing Kick for paying creators to slander their artists. And considering what I said about A. Ross and Megan Stallion. That sort of makes sense now.
Good lord. Just truly cursed ground wherever this man goes. But, go ahead. Keep wasting your time. Whatever keeps you from releasing another 30-track album to gunk up the charts.
Yeah. People say this all year long. No, hip hop is not born because Drake hasn't done anything. People need bullshit this year, and no one gave a fuck. Remember that some sexy songs for you? No, you don't. No, you don't remember that shit. Hip hop has been good.
Actually, I have to mention that WWE, of all companies, use one of their songs from one of their shows as a theme song. It's the one that goes, baby girl, which, you know, totally works for a fucking wrestling show, you dumbasses.
Who used that? Who used that?
I never thought I'd be saying this, but bring back Hardy.
Yeah, they really use Nokia of all songs, but
that song.
I want to mention the five words of from the judge here that really bring this whole thing home. In regards to the claim that UMG, you know, did some funny business, which, you know, they didn't. The judge said, "Quote: This argument is logically incoherent."
Ha! I say it again. Ha!
Also, given this year in particular, I wouldn't want to piss off judges. They are especially cranky right now.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy are they.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So, I mean, good luck with the appeal. You can lose again. We'll still be laughing. But, yeah, that's pretty much about it for the news. Again, we'll be here to laugh again if more developments occur. But that does leave us with one last bit of business here before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of October 17th, 2025. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from All Time Low with Everyone's Talking. Not About Your Career. Boom, roasted. We have the 20th anniversary edition of Fall Out Boys from Under the Cork Tree. From the band Military Gun, we have their newest album, God Save the Gun. From the up-and-coming indie band The Last Dinner Party, we have their second studio album, From the Pyre. From Ash Nika, we have her new album, Smoochies. Let me see if I'm pronouncing the name right here. Baba Ganoush. No, Babinos. No, that's not it either. Ooh, I got it. Young Gravy. No, wait, that's not it. I'm being told it's Baby No Money. Oh. You mean that TikTok cosplayer guy that does music on the side?
Yeah, I thought that was Logic. Or Anthony Fantano.
But yeah, there's a self-titled Baby No Money album coming out this week. My therapist assures me that Baby No Money Pomni isn't real and that they can't hurt me. And last but certainly not least, we have the newest studio album from Tame Impala with Deadbeat. So now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places. My other show, which we're going to be bitching a lot on, the Discord, other Discords, some platforms where I'm going to probably chime in every once in a while because, again, anxiety, it's kind of killing me right now, but hopefully that'll be better in like a couple weeks.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
As usual, Sky of Blues at the Metavid Media on my site, hypewonderworks.com, where I should be wrapping up my time of the season, fall anime, you know, first impressions, which look up. Like a show called, okay, the name of a show called Little Miss Vampire Can't Suck Right. How the hell you gonna name it that and I wanna make, wait, what? That sounds like a hint. It's a show called Little Miss Vampire Can't Suck Right. This sounds like a fucking hentai. Oh, no, I think it is a hentai that has that vampire girl in it. How do I know? Mind your business.
All right. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sureresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website on Blue Sky at Subaru Resolution. Visit that URL, SubaruResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast, ONA, all that good stuff. And be sure to find the link there as well to our Discord server so you can chat all kinds of random stuff and be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. So, yeah, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And until next time, keep racking up more L's, Drake, for my amusement!